Haven't told any. Any big secrets? Any of your life secrets? I don't want to delve into any of your life secrets. Just interested in Charlie Mays and his trap line. tell me about when you went out there in November. There was not much sun, not much warmth. You had enough wood to last you how long when you first went out there?
Well, I had enough wood cut to last a month or two, and then I cut wood all along. Every few days I'd cut all, take time off and cut more wood ahead. That was one thing I had to keep ahead.
What kind of a saw did you have? A power saw or just
no, I had a Swede saw.
A Swede saw. Are you Swedish?
No. In fact, I had a regular buck saw with a Swedish saw blade, a narrow blade, which works out very well.
And was it spruce or birch?
I burned lots of dry poplar this year, and quite some spruce, but no birch. Not enough birch around there to bother with. I knocked over a few dead birch that happened to be around, but there's not much birch in that area. Fires have killed the birch out.
But you had about a month's supply of wood when you
to begin with, yeah.
Then you just kept replenishing.
Kept up, yeah. I always kept
so
up.
So when you left 1st of March, you had enough wood there for, you could go back for another month.
Yeah.
So I think in heating that cabin there, in response to your question, it's a log cabin, and what's the dimension?
Oh, it's about 14 by 18, I think.
And the day you got there, it was below zero, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And the cabin was totally chilled.
Oh, yeah.
And how long did it take to warm the cabin up before?
Well, I'd say it took a week to get it thoroughly warm.
So it's about 14 by 18?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the
exact... Does it have a sod roof?
Sod roof, yeah.
Real old Alaska trapper's cabin.
Yeah, except it had four windows instead of the usual two.
Usual two.
Yeah.
Tell me what's inside the cabin besides the stove. Tell me about the stove first.
Well, the
Yukon stove or barrel stove?
Well,
or?
It's a barrel stove with a cast iron top. And then there's the regular wash bench just inside the door, which is made of a gasoline case, and then over to...
A Blazo box?
Yeah, Blazo box. And then over under the north window, there's the table, and then the bunk is back across the west side of the cabin.
You have a Simmons inner spring mattress?
No, just a regular poplar poles that are sniped off a little bit, squared off with an axe, and it is an iron bedstead, but I don't have any springs. And then I had a couple mattresses. I had an army mattress like the GIs all have, and another mattress. I had two mattresses.
And what did you use for bed clothing? Just
heavy feather sleeping bag.
Is this what you've usually used in the years past? What kind of windows? Glass or?
Well, they were double glass windows.
Mm-hmm. So when you describe to me a typical day when you, after you got the cabin thawed out and thoroughly warmed and you located your traps and had your food stowed away and got settled, you started trapping. Describe a typical day.
I got the moose. I started hunting for moose then.
Oh.
And it took me through 3 days, I think, to find the moose and 3 days to get it to the cabin, get it butchered and cut up and dragged to the cabin. And then I started looking the country over and finding out where the fur was, if any, and opening up some trails, making a snowshoe trail, and so it has some bottom, and then started setting a trap as soon as the season came open.
But you, of course, waited for the season.
Oh, certainly.
And one question was stowing away your food. Now, do I understand correctly they couldn't land on the river in front of your cabin.
Yeah.
So they had to land at a lake. The lake was how far from the cabin?
Oh, I'd say about 3/4 of a mile.
And they offloaded about, what, 500 to 1,000 pounds?
Well, I think he figured it was 800 pounds. The bush pilot figured it was 800 pounds.
Is that when you first went in there?
Yeah.
With all those perishables and everything?
Yeah.
And then you had to snowshoe that, or pack it, I should say, to the cabin.
Yeah, well, I dragged it on a hand sled.
Mm-hmm. How many trips did it take you?
I don't remember, but
quite a few.
3 days, yeah.
800 pounds is quite a bit.
I didn't take very heavy loads.
But quite a bit of that, though, was perishable.
Well, potatoes and onions and the canned milk was my greatest worry.
Did you freeze any of it getting it to the cabin?
No, I think I must have frozen some of the potatoes, but not very badly. But they went soft. Some of them went soft real quick, so I feel that they were some of them frozen.
Probably
partially frozen.
Okay, well, I'll get back to my question. Tell me about a just
typical
pick
day?
A typical day of your winter. This winter, not 20 years ago, but this winter.
Well, first thing you do, you get up and...
You get up when the sun came up?
Oh, well, generally. I wouldn't say that, because lots of days was overcast and the sun didn't show. And there were really a good many days in December when there was no daylight, you might say. And, so you don't dare wait that long, but... first thing I'd do is look out the window, and generally it's all frosted over except about an inch at the top, but maybe it's just enough that clear that I could see out to see what the weather was like, if it was snowing or overcast or clear, and then I'd start the fire the first thing, and...
Then jump back in the sleeping bag till it got warm?
Well, on the real cold days, I often did. In the real cold nights, I tried to keep a fire. I generally put in a stick or two around midnight and just keep a little fire all night, mm-hmm. but sometimes I didn't. And of course, that adds to the wood requirements quite a bit. And so I generally let the fire go out. But, well, the morning, the first thing to do is get the fire going and get the cabin a little warm and get your clothes warm and just kind of put on layer by layer and warm them as you put them on, and then have breakfast. And
well, who did your cooking for you?
Well, I generally did it myself.
You didn't have a cook?
No.
When the fire went on at night, how cold did it get in the cabin? I know that you had your perishables in the basement, which...
No, well, yeah.
In the cellar.
Yeah.
But how cold did you estimate it getting there?
I don't know, but it was several degrees warmer than the outside.
But any water you'd have, would that freeze in your cabin?
Oh yeah, it froze generally. Not generally, but on cold night it would freeze. There'd be half inch ice on the water bucket, which was 5 or 6 feet away from the stove. But good many mornings I knocked ice off the water with the water bucket with the axe.
See, once you got up and got your layers of clothes on and the place warm, what did you have for breakfast?
Well, I had lots of steak and eggs this year.
Moose steak and eggs?
Yeah.
And you brought the eggs you took in with you?
Oh, I took in 12 dozen. I used the last two of the morning I left. I can ration them out, you know.
Steak and eggs.
Yeah, that's a good combination.
How about bread? Did you make your own bread?
Yeah, I took yeast and made bread.
Did you make sourdough pancakes or just regular yeast bread?
No, I made regular pancakes. I don't use the mix. I make my own from scratch.
Did you have normally two meals a day or one?
No,
or
I generally had three. Yeah. A light meal in the middle of the day.
And then more steak and eggs at dinner?
I hardly ever repeated it. More steak probably, but then rice or macaroni or sometimes
stew.
I had vegetable soup and stew. And I had a fairly good variety, I thought.
How about rabbit?
No, I didn't eat any rabbit this year.
Didn't eat any rabbit this year. You don't like rabbit?
Oh, I got my fill of rabbits a couple of years ago.
That's pretty good rabbit we had out at Rusty's the other night. Well, you said that you trapped that, or you snared it?
Just as well have eaten a piece of leather. It'd have been just as good.
Those rabbits were so brittle that when I threw them out, the head was struck on the head, and the head broke off as if you'd chopped it off.
Well, they've been frozen there for months. I probably got them in November. Or
you brought them to town with you?
Oh, yeah.
I'd bring back a trophy.
Well, I didn't bring them. Steve was over the second time, I sent them with him. He brought some beaver for dog feed and things like that. And the rabbits were there, and I said, well, you know anybody that wants some rabbits? And he said, yeah, I'll take them. So he had room in his plane, and so he brought them.
How do you snare a rabbit?
Well,
I really don't know. I'm just curious about how you set a snare.
Well, I have the snares made up. I use preferably a picture cord wire and make them up ahead of time. And just to, when you find a rabbit trail, I just break down a little tree and put the snare on the tree and put the loop over the rabbit trail.
And then the rabbit comes through and hits the loop?
The rabbit comes through and sticks his head in there and chokes himself.
How many, the fur isn't worth
rabbit
retrieving,
fur?
Is it?
Rabbit fur?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't think, it isn't to me. It's delicate, so fragile that I never bother to. And rabbit hair all over your clothes and all over your gloves and all over, and you're eating it and everything else, and I don't care much about rabbits.
Well, what'd you do with them? Just skin them after you got them, or just let them
I
freeze? They were usually frozen when you picked them up.
Yeah.
I suppose your principal reason for getting rabbits was to have an available supply of bait.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Was this a very good rabbit year?
No, it was, I would say it was a less than good, but it wasn't entirely a failure. Well, I don't know what to say, but the rabbit cycle wasn't at its very bottom. In other words, there were a few rabbits.
We didn't have hundreds and hundreds the way we did about 3 years ago.
No, it was a moderate rabbit year.
Did you, excuse me, go ahead, Jerry.
Do you snare lynx and fox the same way you do rabbit? You make a trail and set the traps in the trailer?
Essentially.
Or you follow their trail?
No, they follow my trail.
Oh, they follow yours.
They follow Snowshoe Trail pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Under certain snow conditions when the population is...
Did you ever get caught in one of your own snares?
Oh, yeah. I stuck my snowshoe into them a time or two, and sometime I got my foot into them inadvertently. You have them across the trail, and you don't want to move them every time, so you just try to slide by them. Maybe you got a pack on, and maybe it's dark, and you don't see where you're going, and you get your foot into one once in a while.
Well, you're quite a photographer. Did you take very many pictures this winter?
I didn't take. I took one roll of 35. Two and a quarter camera was on the Fritz.
It was?
Went on the Fritz.
Mine was on the Fritz too, and I sent it outside and it cost me $120 to have it fixed. And I looked at the price of a new Rolleiflex, over $800. I thought, well, gee whiz, this is a Rolleiflex is a good camera, and it cost me $120 to get it fixed. But they're beautiful old cameras. There's another question I was going to ask you on this. Forget. What was the question you were going to ask?
I don't know if this is appropriate, but sir, you asked several questions about trapping, and I think it might be prudent to say that your trap line is in the valley. You have mink, you have beaver, you have four line cabins, and that normally you trap marten. This year you only had a few, and one of your line trap cabins, or two of them, are on the foothills of the White Mountains.
Yeah.
And and a trap line that length and that size, the high land is for Martin, is that correct?
Right. More or less.
This is correct. If you were going out for Martin, you'd be trapping on your cabins that are in the mountains, in the foot of the foothills. And your main cabin is really near mink and beaver country.
Right. And I think that when the cold weather came, why all the mink and the marten, and they were very all the mink and all the lynx and fox, and there were very few. They moved up into the higher country where the temperature was higher.
Did you have a thermometer at your cabin?
No, this one year I forgot to take one, so I never was able to get an accurate reading on the temperature, but I always figured it was 10 or 15 degrees colder there than it was here in Fairbanks or North Pole.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a calendar and you mark off the days?
I had a calendar.
So the reason, what leads me up to that is, what did you have for dinner on Thanksgiving?
I had...
Turkey?
No.
Did you celebrate it in any way?
No, or? Not Thanksgiving. I had a can of my wife stuck a can of salmon in my pack, and that I didn't know anything about, and I found it later, and I used that for Christmas. But I think I had moose and rice for Thanksgiving. I just don't remember, but I didn't know. I didn't celebrate it anyway.
But at Christmas time, you had a can. Was it canned?
It was canned salmon, one of those little half cans, whatever, uh-huh. Number one, I think they are. And the salmon that she'd caught on the...
Oh, and she had canned it herself?
No, it's commercial canned, but she had... No, I think that she traded the salmon that she caught for canned salmon there at the cannery.
But you didn't expect to find
it
in your pack?
No, I didn't know. I had no idea it was there.
What? And so you had salmon on Christmas?
Yeah.
And you had radio then?
Oh, yes.
So you could listen to Fairbanks radio?
Yeah.
So you kept up with what we all were doing
in
Fairbanks?
Yeah,
not that Jerome and I were making news, but what you were able to keep up with the world news.
Pretty much.
Interior
until,
Alaska news.
But radio reception this year was very poor. I guess I dropped my camera, and I suppose that didn't help it too much. And I could only get the station KJNP for any practical purpose. And toward the last, I could hardly get anything at all. Of course, the battery is weakened.
Mm-hmm.
But I could get enough to figure out what day it was, but you'd be surprised how seldom they mention what day it is.
Yeah,
or what the date is. I could tell.
They can always tell. They're always telling what time it is,
yeah,
and
the
temperatures,
yeah,
in the real cold days.
Very few times do they mention it's this date or that.
That's a good observation that they might be interested in hearing.
You don't think that people would miss that, but I can see if you're there where you might be interested if it's February 28th and Thursday. Or
one day sort of melts into another day many times if you're busy.
Well, you mark it off the calendar, but then you get to thinking, did I mark it off today or didn't I? And I've been off as much as 2 days, and this winter I got off one day. But then eventually I got my radio going to where I could judge what day it was. It was
surely you could tell when it was Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's about
Sunday
the only
programming,
thing for sure.
Is, particularly in the mornings,
yeah.
Is so different than any other day.
Well, but if you can't get the program, I mean, if you can't, maybe atmospheric conditions also govern, sometimes you can't take. With a cheap little radio like I had, well, you just can't pick up anything, and so you can't always tell.
Did you have any? Are there any wolves in that country?
There weren't. Didn't seem to be any this winter, but there have been other winters.
You didn't see any, or
I didn't see any tracks of any of them.
How about bears?
I saw tracks of two bears,
Nearby? Near the cabin?
No, they were both quite a long ways away, and they were. The old tracks were pretty old.
Did you ever, in your years out there in that cabin and your other line cabins,
mm-hmm.
did you ever have any close calls with bears? I mean, real close calls where they come up and
no.
meet you face to face?
No, I never have. Well, only bears I've ever had any contact with, they were just the opposite. They were they kept pretty well away from me. I killed a bear in a den a couple of years ago, but I didn't see any bear at all this year.
Chris, you might mention that the year you were not there, why, or during the years you were not there, either the wind or the bears knocked over your cache and ate up all the dog food you had stored.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you have a dog with you this
not
winter?
Not this year.
But in past years you did?
In past years I have, and all earlier years I had a dog team, but then I kind of got away from the dog team and just used a single dog, which worked out pretty well.
Has your wife been to Alaska?
Never has.
Do you think you'll ever get her up here?
No, I don't think so. I don't think she can come.
Well, why don't you tell her to come up and she can stay with me? I got lots of room here.
Well,
tell her it's just like Portland, only a little colder.
Well, she would like it if she would come up here and stay long enough to get acquainted. But
yeah, well, that's I can understand why. When you've lived in a place like I've lived here so long, you know, I just can't feature me living someplace else
in Portland,
California. Well, maybe in Portland because there are a lot of Alaskans, in Oregon. But to pack up and just go to a completely foreign area. Now, I could go back to Barrow. I'd love to go back to Barrow and live now, because when I lived up there, you know, mm-hmm. there was no transportation and no communications, and mm-hmm. now they have jet planes every day,
sure.
long-distance telephone, radio, and cable television. And
always walk from the camp to Barrow, you know, and the worst walking in the world along the beach.
mm-hmm.
Well.
But I lived up there 5 years, and I enjoyed, I kind of enjoyed it, you know. I got cabin fever quite a bit.
I spent a year there.
Cool.
Charlie, you made one comment to me about your experience, and this is a matter of observation, and that's the observation on birds as an example. It seems to me you told me in previous years there were always birds, and this year you saw very, very few. And you might mention what kind of birds that you normally see.
Well, normally I see quite a few ravens and blue jays or camp robbers, whatever you want to call them. And some years there have been lots of owls. This year there were no owls. There were very few ravens. There were very few camp robber jays. There were just practically no woodpeckers and only a few little chickadees, and I don't know what the situation is, but there seems to be something has changed in the environment there.
This is this difference you're noting now is from 2 years ago.
The 2 years ago the bird population was pretty good.
And had it remained rather constant during your trapping years?
Yes. Of course, some years it was. It was more dense than others, but it's been farily constant.
How about ptarmigan?
Ptarmigan. There were quite a few this year, but they were very wild. More ptarmigan this year, I believe, than I've ever seen.
Just pushing down. That cat sheds more than any cat I ever saw in my life.
I had a pair of trousers, you know, pick up hair and lint a mile away.
Give him a good kick in the rear and he'll leave. He takes that hint very well. BP, get away.
One aspect that we didn't talk about, we talked about setting the snares and you catch the rabbit link box. Also you use snares for beaver. You use traps, I take it, for mink and muskrat. You use traps for marten. And now you've caught these animals. Tell us about skinning them as an example and preparing them for shipment.
Well, as a general thing, they only live a few minutes in the trap, in the cold weather especially, and when you find them, they're always frozen solid, so it's a question then of packing them into the camp and getting them thawed out and skinning them. Well, you wait until they're thoroughly thawed and then skin them as
thawed?
You can.
Huh? You have to wait till they're completely thawed?
Sure.
And you have to thaw them because when you find them, they're often very, should I call it, say, grotesques and odd forms, and you have to be able to...
Right.
Well, you thaw them then in your cabin?
Oh, yeah.
So you've got animals sure. living with you part of the time, or all
Well,
the time.
It takes about 3 days to thaw out a fox or a lynx. Even a marten takes about 3 days.
Is that a fact?
Well, it takes wash your underwear and hang them right up over the stove at the warmest place there is. It takes 3 days to get them dry.
I didn't think trappers washed their underwear.
Well, sometimes when you can't stand them yourself any longer, why you pretty much have to wash them.
So then you you skin them, and you skin the all the animals except the beaver. They're cased.
Right.
And they're stretched, and you hang the fur in the cabin, I take it?
Yeah.
And once it's dry, then you remove it and...
Put it back in a cool corner.
I see.
Well, what about prices for your furs? Have you tried, have you sold them yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got better prices than I ever got before. But I had less fur than I've ever had before, too, so... It more or less averaged out that way.
Now, another question on skinning the lynx as an example.
Uh-huh.
I've been told that lynx are notorious for having lice or fleas. You
what?
Bring them in the house, you've got your sleeping bag.
Uh-huh.
How do you keep the fleas out of your bed?
Well, I had some sad experiences in that respect, so when I get a lynx, why, I leave it outside in the cold for 3 days or so, and that does
that
away with the fleas.
Takes care of the fleas.
I've never seen any lice, but they are.
I may be wrong, on fleas maybe what I was thinking of.
Well, what, tell us about your sad experience.
Well, it seemed like
they invaded you.
They invaded me, more or less. Not really invaded, but well, I guess I got one or two in the sleeping bag. And they seemed to work most around the feet, my feet anyway. And they bite, and it is kind of a little burn, you might say, and awful itch. Well, the only way I know to get rid of that, and that's what I did, is take the sleeping bag out and hang it out in on a line and let it air out in the 40 below, and that takes care of the lynx. Turn wrong side out.
Charlie, I get the impression that if you're a trapper, the figure 3 plays an important role. It takes 3 days to dry your underwear, 3 days to thaw out an animal, 3 days to kill the fleas. Does 3 play a role elsewhere?
Well, not that I recall at the moment, anyway.
How about partners? Do you have, if you have partners, is it better to have 3 than 2?
Well, now Bird, I think it was, he made that observation years ago when he first went down to the South Pole, and possibly is that because the 2 can talk against the 1 or the 1 against the 2, and they can switch back and forth their loyalties and their whatever you might want to say, but I believe it might be better to have 3 than 2.
Did you ever have partners when you trapped?
No, not
out
there.
You've always been by yourself?
No. As far as a safety factor is concerned, if you're going to get in trouble out on a trap line, why, your partner's not going to do you much good. He might come and pick you up after it's all over with, you know, but he wouldn't be with you anyway when you're out, and he can just check on you once in a while. And it has the advantage that the same amount of wood would eat 2 as well as 1, and possibly some advantage in cooking. You know, might save some time there, but there's always some difference of opinion on everything, you know.
Now, your method of transportation this year was snowshoes.
Right.
And you had a trap line. Did your trap line go spoke wheel from your cabin?
No, unfortunately, yeah. The terrain, the brush and one thing or another, it would have involved too much trail cutting.
So you had a lateral type line.
Yeah, and sometimes I had to back trail, but it wasn't feasible.
Sort of a random type.
Yeah.
Now you start out in the day. Do you normally didn't start out on the trap line in the dark in the morning?
No, only when I made the longest parts of the line.
And you're on snowshoes.
Right.
You're how long did you? How many miles did you walk in a day?
Oh, I don't know. You
an estimate?
Depend on. Some days it was only 5 or 6 miles. Some days 10.
You mean you walked 10 miles out and back?
No, total 10. But I think one section of the line was about 9 miles long, which meant 9 miles there, 9 miles back. So
and you did this in 18, one day.
Yeah,
that's 18 miles.
Estimated 18 miles.
Gee, God. And you carried a pack. And did you carry food on a trip like that?
No, a candy bar or two, or maybe a sandwich, something like
you didn't
that.
Take,
not much.
Just in case something happened, you didn't take any survival?
Matches and a knife, and that's about all.
Well, if it was really cold, you didn't have a thermometer this winter, but if you could tell if it was 30, 40, 50 below, you wouldn't go out in weather like that.
No, that's right. When you first step out, you kind of blow your breath like that, and if it jumps right back at you, you know it's pretty cold.
Now, one thing, we're jumping around, we're talking about the cabin. Where did you get your drinking water?
Out of the creek.
Out of the creek. You chopped the whole city ice.
I did it first, and then it got too much of a chore, so I just got ice.
Mm-hmm.
Just break ice and...